Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and I am bringing you News and Focus. This one is found on the Institute for Creation Research.org. It's written by Jason Lyle. Jason is a PhD, has a PhD from University of Colorado in astrophysics. That's interesting, isn't it? So from a reputable institution with a reputable discipline, working for a creation research institute. It's called Blue Stars Confirm Recent Creation. It's a short article. Orion is one of the most well-known and easily recognized constellations of the winter sky. The three bright blue stars in his belt draw our attention instantly. Such stars are strong confirmation of the biblical timescale. Most stars generate energy by the process of nuclear fusion of hydrogen into helium in the stellar core. This is a very efficient power source. Theoretically, a star like the Sun has enough hydrogen in its core to keep it burning for 10 billion years, but that's not the case with blue stars. For example, like Orion. Blue stars are always more massive than the Sun. This means they have more hydrogen available as fuel. Yet blue stars are much brighter than the Sun. Some are 200,000 times brighter. They're burning their fuel much more quickly than the Sun, and therefore cannot last billions of years. Based on their observed luminosity, the most massive blue stars cannot even last 1 million years before running out of fuel. None of this is a problem for the biblical timescale of about 6,000 years of age for the universe. But if the universe were 13.7 billion years old, as secularists allege, then it really couldn't have blue stars. Yet blue stars abound in every known spiral galaxy. It seems that these galaxies cannot be even 1 million years old. Secular astronomers must assume that new blue stars have formed recently to replace all those that have burned out over time. See how that works? If the world is 13 billion years old, then you have to have blue stars that are produced over time. Otherwise, the ones that exist now, you can't assume they're the original ones. See how that works? Okay. They claim that some nebulae, which are clouds of hydrogen gas, eventually collapse under their own gravity to form a new star. Some astronomy textbooks even have pictures of nebulae, and they are labeled as star-forming regions or stellar nurseries, as if star formation were an observed fact, but it's not. Star formation has never been observed. It's problematic at best. Gas is very resistant to being compressed. On Earth, gas always fills its container. In space, there's no container. So gas expands indefinitely. If the gas could be forced into a sphere that is very small, in comparison to a nebula, such as the Sun, then the gas would be held together by its own gravity. However, in typical nebula, the gas pressure far exceeds the minuscule force of gravity. Okay, so the gas that causes it to expand, the outward force that causes it to expand, far outweighs the force of gravity in a nebula. Okay, so such astronomers now believe that external forces such as shockwave from exploding star are necessary in most cases to trigger star formation. Now, why is that? Well, you need an exploding star to produce a shockwave, which will cram these hydrogen clouds into a small enough sphere to form a star. Observations confirm that gas clouds expand. They do not appear to collapse into stars. And let's remind ourselves, as the author does, there has never been a forming of a star observed. Even if we could compress the nebula sufficiently to the point that the force of gravity was strong enough to prevent the gas from expanding, other effects would kick in, thereby preventing the formation of a star. Clouds of gas always have weak magnetic fields, which would be concentrated if the cloud were compressed. This dramatically increased field strength. This dramatically increases the field strength. The magnetic pressure would halt a shrinking cloud and drive it to expand. It's a bit like trying to push the poles of two magnets together. Okay, so let's go over this again. If the expanding pressure of the gas doesn't overcome the gravity, then surely the concentrated magnetic field would. Also, the gas clouds all have a small amount of angular momentum. They rotate, if ever so slowly. But much like a skater who pulls her arms and legs in as she spins, a collapsing gas cloud would spin up dramatically. The centrifugal force generated would tend to prevent any further collapse. Gas pressure, magnetic field strength, and angular momentum all work to prevent star formation. From a scientific perspective, naturalistic star formation appears unlikely at best. The evidence seems far more consistent with biblical account. It appears that stars were supernaturally created thousands of years ago. But blue stars scattered across the cosmos, our universe certainly looks young. In other words, since we find these age-telling stars that we have to assume are first generation because no one's ever seen one formed, then that means the universe is the same age from end to end. What a very informative and concise and easy to understand article. Very, very easy to understand. So, centrifugal force, concentrated magnetic fields, and expanding gas pressure all inhibit star formation, which, oh, by the way, has never been observed. So, where does he get the 6,000-year term? Since I'm here, and some of you have never heard me before, or maybe you've never heard the right lessons at the right time, how do we know that the Earth is only 6,000 years? Well, we know we get 2,000 since Christ. That's pretty simple. And then usually, people have some established dating criteria. Some would say that you can, on the Gregorian calendar, you can nail down the command of Cyrus to rebuild Jerusalem, maybe in mid-400s. And then you know that 483 years until the crucifixion. So if you work backwards, then you just work through the 70-year Babylonian captivity and then the lengths of the particular king's reigns. And that gives you a building of Solomon's temple on or around 964 BC. 1 Kings 3:1 says that it was 480 years at the dedication of the temple. It was 480 years since the Exodus. And Exodus 12 says it was 450 years from the Exodus back to the promise of blessing to Abraham. And so all of a sudden, now all you need are the ages of the people and the genealogies in Genesis 11 and Genesis 5. And you have creation happening at about 3980 BC. And people say, what about the gaps in the genealogies? If there are gaps in the genealogies of Genesis, it's not until after the Babylonian captivity. Because all the way up to King David is the same from Genesis, First Chronicles, Matthew, Luke. So all the genealogies that can be found in Scripture match at least up through King David, and that is where people would say most of the gaps occurred. So it's pretty easy math when you think it through. The question is whether or not you believe that there was ages and ages of death before Adam introduced sin and death into the cosmos. Romans 5:12 says that he introduced sin into the world. And this is the same creational world as mentioned in Romans 8, where it says that the Lord subjected creation under the curse. So, if death is part of the curse, then it was not subjected underneath the curse until after Adam's sin. So, if Adam sinned closely after creation, then he sinned in around 4000 BC. And death didn't enter. So that means your fossil records are not more than 6,000 years old. And so, we've already talked about this to some degree. Perhaps you have some feedback, maybe you have some kickback, but you have to do more than just call me names, okay? That's not scholarly argumentation. You have to do more than just high-pressure, microphone-frenzied land blasting, okay? Because I respect whoever you are out there, I respect you as a human being with thoughts and desires and emotions And so if there is disagreement, it will be done respectfully. This is Pastor Bill. Thanks for listening.